Welcome to an encore performance of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, with Jim Packard announcing. In this hour of What Do You Know, author and cantankerous chef Anthony Bourdain joins Michael to chat about his book, Medium Raw, traveling the world and where he eats when he's out on a book tour. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Oh, thank you. No, really, it went all right. Oh, I don't need that kind of fame. Yeah, thank you very much. Anthony Bourdain, you love him, we love him, everybody loves him. Medium Raw is a new book, of course, Kitchen Confidential. That was a breakthrough, I think, for mankind that eats. Except it told you what goes on in kitchens, and so it's kind of a setback in a way. He's with us now from New York City, and he's got, I think the tour is over, isn't it, Anthony?
Pardon?
You're done with this tour, right?
No, I got like another six or so cities.
Do you hate it or what?
No, I can't complain. Come on, it beats working for a living, you know?
I mean, I mean, in Green Bay, where'd you go to eat?
Got a tube of Pringles out of the mini bar. I mean, I'm not eating too much on this thing. It's 17 cities in 22 days, so
yeah,
I'm pretty much grabbing what's available in between, interviews and things. So,
but don't they force you off to whatever they think the best restaurant is in town and make you do a taster's menu and all that?
Yeah, I learned early on around book tour two that's the road to madness and death.
Yeah, because not every city has got, epicures in it necessarily.
So often out there, the best restaurant, the best Italian restaurant in town is the Olive Garden, so.
Yeah, and it's surprisingly good for what you pay.
Really, I'm sure, think so, huh?
I'm sure you'll agree.
No, actually.
Yeah.
I disagree violently.
Yes. Do you miss...
I prefer Guantanamo Bay, actually.
It's nice, but it's prepackaged, that's what I don't care for. Do you miss the cooking end of things? I mean, you're into the other end of it now, which is kind of the spiritual or literary end of it. But do you miss just like the cooking?
No, not really. Come on. I mean, I spent 28 years standing on my feet next to a deep fryer, with a bunch of sweaty tattooed guys. Kitchen Confidential happened for me at age 44. Do I miss that or my new life complaining about the thread count at the Four Seasons? life's good.
The part I really like in this, I mean, I like it all, but the part I really like is about Le Bernardine and the fish guy.
Great restaurant. And, yeah. And it's about a remarkable individual who's, responsible for a lot of the good work there. And I think, points up as well who in a sense is the backbone of this industry.
Right, and he should be making like $250,000 a year. I suppose he's not.
Actually, he's making really good money.
Oh, is he? Okay, good. Yeah. Then he can eat there. He can afford to eat there.
He can afford to, but employees are not allowed to eat at their own restaurant in much of the fine dining world.
That's really a shame.
Well, think about it. I mean, if you're springing for big money, do you want to see, a bunch of drunken line cooks sitting at the next table, making jokes about their nether regions and loud voices?
I'd enjoy that. But, Le Bernardine is like the only fine restaurant I've ever dined at. And it was, for me, I was in New York on another failed TV adventure trying to get this thing. And with NBC station's head, we were down there and... they gave me a sport coat because I didn't have one, and there was a dime in the pocket, so I thought that was a good omen.
Yeah. Oh, man, that jacket, huh?
Did you get that one, too?
It's a legend.
Yeah, it's a legend.
And, I think that was my dime, actually.
Yeah. And it ended up going south because the guy said, well, what kind of TV show do you want to do? And I said, well, I don't want to do one where they break down the door and shackle a black man and drag him out for the entertainment of, I don't know what I was on. I was on something. I even know where that came from. I mean, I didn't want to do that kind of show, but he said, my problem is I can't get enough of those shows. And he flipped the check to this other guy from Chicago, and that was Le Bernardine. But I had the sea bass, and oh, is it good?
Yeah, it's a great restaurant.
Oh, man, wonderful. It's the sauce, right? Is that what we're talking about here with the...
It's everything, everything. I mean, they do everything perfectly there.
Yeah, that's really quite amazing. Did you have a signature dish while you were cooking?
Not really. I mean, I was not a creative genius by any in any respect. I was a journeyman chef. I'd been kicking around for a long time. The early in my career, what I thought I was a creative genius, people got hurt. I really hit my stride late in my career at Layal, which was all classic recipes that I was just recreating. I thought I recreated them well, but it was, you know, basically working class French bistro and brasserie food. That's probably what I should have been cooking my whole career.
Yeah, but you didn't have something in the back of your head that this is going to kill?
No, not really.
Yeah. And do you hang around with these guys and these chefs? And I mean, I know you've gone around the world for your TV show, and you meet mostly though like local people cooking regular food that happens to be extraordinary.
Yes, I do. I mean, most of my friends are still chefs and in the restaurant business. I guess after 28 years. That in that sort of dysfunctional subculture, those are the only people I could really relate to.
Yeah. But it's a pretty catty crowd, isn't it? I mean, it seems to be a lot of backstabbing and...
I don't know. I mean, chefs are pretty much good people. I mean, there's a lot of, I don't know without a radio-friendly expression for it, gentle belittling of others or in the interest of humor, shall we say. But I mean... You know, when push comes to shove, I think there's a lot of camaraderie and a lot of, chefs will help other chefs in almost every case.
Yeah. What about, like that guy in Chicago, for example, with the tasting menu with things hanging from chains or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And, that was pretty controversial because he got panned by his fellow chefs.
I don't know. I mean, I think most people, he's very well thought of and well liked in the community of chefs. Mm-hmm. I think he's a genius.
Yeah.
And I know him to be an incredibly talented chef. We're talking about Grant Achatz at Alinea.
Yeah,
it just, I think, differences, you either get that food or you don't. I don't respond to it. Maybe it's because I'm jaded, maybe because it's actually silly, but people have very different reactions. My wife loves the place.
Yeah. And this is like things are hanging from I don't know, well, he does, the presentation is everything, I guess, but...
Yeah, I mean, they're really big on, like, food on the end of wires and hanging from clotheslines food presented on these sort of farting pillows that spew rosemary-scented fumes into the air or something. It doesn't work for me.
Yeah. Are you into the molecular gastronomy?
It depends.
Or? Yeah.
You know, yeah. I think, you know, like any great new... You know, anything new in any industry, whether it's music or art, there are going to be real visionaries like, you know, Jimi Hendrix, and then there are going to be a lot of people who try to sound like Jimi Hendrix and don't manage to pull it off so well.
Yeah.
So it depends. I think Ferran Adrià at El Bulli in Spain is about, you know, that's Jimi Hendrix. I think there are other people who probably should be leaving the foam alone.
And he's molecular.
Nobody will admit to doing molecular gastronomy anymore. Yeah. They all call it something else. But I would guess so.
It's chemistry is what it is, right? It's
well, without chemicals. I mean, for the most part, they're just figuring out on a seriously scientific level, you know, what is actually happening to this food and what can we do with it. I mean, I think it's they're not putting dangerous chemicals in food or anything like that.
Yeah. One of the things I like about your it's not restaurant reviews so much, but about your eating experience is that there's a lot of times there's an aftermath, and we'll be sitting with you watching you try to digest.
Yeah, I'm a little disturbed by that. It's got to be the number one question I'm asking on the road is, do you ever get sick? And then other people are even more specific. I mean, there's a disturbingly large sector of the public who really want nothing more than to physically watch me crawling around on a cold bathroom floor, you know, coughing up chunks.
Yeah.
It's
good TV.
I guess.
It is, because, I mean, that's an important part of eating is the aftermath, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, and you know, everybody's favorite shows are like, you know, me getting rolling over, an ATV and almost dying, me getting a hideously painful Midnight Express-style back massage by a Ron Jeremy lookalike in Uzbekistan.
Yeah. Well, that's hard to beat.
Yeah, I guess that's entertainment, you know.
And Vietnam must be your favorite place now because you keep coming back to it, and it seems to be the food that most agrees with you, or the cuisine.
I love it there.
Yeah.
You know, beautiful country, great people, proud cooks, passionate eaters.
Yeah.
You know, it just pheromonically appeals to me. The minute I'm off the plane, I'm in love with the country.
Yeah. How do you account for that? It's Vietnamese. It's French influenced, I would imagine.
Not so much. The stuff that I love about Vietnamese food is very, you know, I think they were cooking very much like that before the French and continued after. But if there is to the extent there is a French influence, it's very, very, very subtle. But they do simple things inexpensively in the street, just sitting on a low plastic stool in Saigon, eating a bowl of pho, you know, noodle soup is, you know, one of the great dining experiences in this life.
Yeah. And it's cool because and it's cool watching you do that. It's almost like eating it yourself, watching you do that, because it's not so much about the food; it's about the people who prepare it. And
I'm as interested in who's cooking my food. You know, what's cooking is interesting, but who's cooking it and why is also very interesting to me.
Yeah, as opposed to like this food porn concept.
Well, there's a place for that too. I like some really filthy, nasty food porn too. You know, straight ahead, you know, for prurient interest, no socially redeeming value whatsoever. Long, lingering close-ups of, you know, food, really delicious-looking food. I mean, I could watch that all day.
Yes, because The Joy of Cooking and The Joy of Sex are really the same book.
Really? Sorry,
man. The way I cook, they are. I don't know. Or the way I have sex, I guess. Can you give me an example of, like, of a recent food porn experience that you've had that you particularly enjoy?
Yeah, well, let's see. Yes,
there's a lot of it I know to go through.
There's a restaurant in New York. A lot of my chef friends agree on this. They do a little dish. It's just a thin crouton of toasted bread with a big sort of plump, engorged stacks of sea urchin roe, uni, with a gossamer-thin sheet of Italian lardo semi-melted over the top. Okay. Let me tell you. Take a bite out of that, you want to black out and die, in a good way.
It's like the foie gras. That's my French. You know, it's as close as I can get to it. Can you say that properly?
Foie gras.
Yeah, that's what I said. You know, I tasted it, I think, twice now. But it is perhaps the best tasting thing you could ever taste. It seems to me.
Oh, I just love this stuff. It sings.
Yeah. And this whole backlash in Chicago, they tried to ban it citywide.
They did ban it, and it was overturned. You know, it was a rare example of the good guys winning one.
Yeah. And meanwhile, you know, they're selling Senate seats, but they're trying to ban goose liver.
Well, you know, first things first, man.
You got to have priorities. Yeah, so there's some things that are definitely just unbelievable. Now, when you wrote the first book, the Confidential, did you make a lot of enemies in the business? I mean, you name names, and you had to...
Honestly, no.
Yeah.
The chefs have been great to me. Since the book came out, it's been free food and free drinks everywhere. I've been everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
The chefs and restaurant people in particular, I think, supported the book and showed good humor about it. Even the people I made fun of in the book ended up being really nice to me. So, no, that book transformed my life overnight, and... you know, I went from a 44-year-old, you know, a broke-down journeyman line cook with no money in the bank, you know, no health insurance, you know, no nothing, to a guy who gets to travel around the world eating and drinking and making self-indulgent television and, you know, chefs everywhere being nice to him. So, you know, no, the reaction to the book was great.
You know, self-indulgent is good depending on the self.
Yeah.
You know,
and
yours is good because of you, and it's real interesting, and I love your takes. You're kind of very philosophical about everything, and it's really cool just to watch you wandering around in Beirut or someplace, you know, and thinking about food and about what's happening in there at the same time, you know.
Well, honestly, I do it in a lot of ways. Television is enabling me to do what I always dreamed of doing, to seeing places in the world that I'd always dreamed of going or exploring issues and countries about which I've always been intensely curious. So I mean, it's for real. My reaction to a place, I don't suffer the burden of having to, you know, be nice or be positive. If I'm unhappy, if things are going wrong, you get to see that on the show. But I think very few travel hosts are able to do that.
Yeah, as opposed to, let's say, the Food Network.
Yeah, there everything's, you know, it's all sunny, rainbows, unicorns, you know, everything. It's a wonderful land where everything's beautiful, nothing hurts, and everything is delicious. You know, even though you look at it, it clearly is, you know, dreadful.
Yeah. Rachel Ray and you, have you made up?
Rachel sent me a fruit basket, so I'm not making fun of her anymore. It's really that easy. That's how cheap I am. Send me a gift of fruit, and I'll lay off. Suddenly, on the other hand, I look at that food. I really just want to pry my eyeballs out of my skull. I watch her cook.
Yeah, I think
a can of Cheese Whiz, a Triscuit, and a smile does not make you a good cook.
She's gotten far in it so far, though. You know, will it put Cuomo into the governorship? Is the question.
Yeah, I know. I mean, she's fantastically successful. I think the only reason she hasn't had me assassinated, is she's barely, why should she notice? You know, I'm an insect compared to her gigantic empire of mediocrity.
Yeah. And, yeah, and she's cute, too.
Yeah, I actually saw her at a party. You know, she came over and said hello, and her boyfriend, our next governor, is standing right next to her. So, I was a little uncomfortable. I'm thinking, this guy's going to audit me back 20 years.
That could happen. Well, he's got to get in first, though.
Yeah.
In the book, you have heroes and villains. We can't go through all of them because there are many, but a hero of yours.
Fergus Henderson is a hero. I mean,
Fergus Henderson. Mm-hmm.
The great chef of London St. John restaurant.
Yeah.
Mario Batali. I think J.B. Oliver, who always used to annoy me, but I really admire what he's doing with this.
He's the naked chef.
I hated that show. But I really appreciate what he's doing. I admire what he's doing with struggling against obesity, particularly childhood obesity in America.
Mm-hmm.
I see it as a doomed but noble cause.
Yeah.
Jonathan Gold, a terrific food writer for the LA Weekly.
Right.
There are a lot of people who in this business who I really, really admire.
Worst villain. We'll give you the worst villain here.
The worst villain,
yeah.
To ever walk the planet.
Yeah, food-wise or...
Let's put it this way, any critic who claims to be an honest broker of opinion who is accepting or soliciting free, goods and services from his victims, I mean subjects, mm-hmm. That's somebody I'm not going to like very much.
Does he have a name?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think you'll find some references in the book to some of these characters who, I'm in a position now, finally, I think, not having a reputation or a business to protect that I can talk about some of these folks.
Yeah. So it's not Alan Richman, then?
No, actually, Alan Richman, yeah. I obviously have some real issues in him. I wrote an entire chapter attacking him. But to my knowledge, my objection to him comes on other grounds. But I don't, as far as I know, he's never, shaking chefs down for free stuff.
Yeah. But, you got to like Wolfgang Puck. I mean, what's not to like about Wolfgang Puck? He's a little commercial.
Well, I was very disappointed with his about-face on foie gras. I mean, he folded easy. that disappointed me because he's such a titan of the business. I guess I was looking to him to sort of protect us and his peers and stand with them. But I found out, they made it very, 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 very hard for him.
Yeah.
When those folks decide to target you and your business and your restaurant, it can get pretty ugly.
Uh-huh. And I was at his place one time in one of the Hollywood, and I he was not in the kitchen. Imagine my disappointment.
Yeah, he must have been at one of the Wolfgang Puck at the airport.
Yeah, no, it was actually in Hollywood, so it was close to where he was, hanging out. But he was not there. I guess he's in none of them. But that's true in general, right? If you go
to
by
the time you get to know the chef's name, he's already in business class flying to Shanghai.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I think any expectation that you're going to walk into one of Emerald's 12 or 15 or 20 restaurants and suddenly have him pop up tableside making you your Caesar salad and saying, bam, I think that's an unreasonable hope.
Yeah. So what they do is they get a restaurant going and it's a success and they're huge and then they duplicate it around the world.
Yeah, or more likely they open up a different concept. Like all of Mario Batali's restaurants are completely different, and he creates them in tandem with in and around existing chefs with their own vision, So, you know, each business is a sort of a unique partnership of creative minds, and or in some cases, they chefs will just replicate. But in every case, you need a lot of loyal, talented people working for you to and enough of those people to be able to expand. You can't just say, well, I'm going to open up another restaurant in Vegas, so, you know, let's hire some guys to work it. You know, the expectation when you walk into a Bobby Flay restaurant in Vegas is that it's just as good as the one in New York.
And is that true?
In my experience with Bobby Flay's restaurant, yeah. I mean, if it isn't, then they deserve to fail, and they will fail.
Yeah. So it's not it's being a chef on one hand, but it's like being a CEO, basically.
Chef means chief. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If anything, you know, in fact, it makes me angry when I hear food writers like Richmond talking about, you know, how you should be able to walk into the chef, any restaurant with a celebrity chef, and if you're paying $200, he should be there. You know, probably come over and kiss your ring, you know. I think that's, come on. I'm happy for chefs who work hard their whole lives and are able to open up a second or a third restaurant. As long as they're as good as we expect, power to them.
Yeah. And you've been offered restaurants, obviously, probably every day. Someone says, why don't we open a Bourdain's in London? But you haven't done it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I wouldn't be able to. I need to be involved. I would be terrified that whoever's writing this thing in my name would mess it up. I know well from all the years that I've been in the business of all the things that could go terribly, terribly, terribly wrong. You know, so I can see the New York Post headline already. Drunken teen served at Bourdain restaurant. You know, I don't need that.
So you'd end up working there is really what you're afraid of.
Right, yeah, that would be the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
I'd be refilling the salad bar, you know. More bacon bits.
Outstanding upcoming chef, or on the uprise, David Chang?
David
perhaps?
Chang, yes. Awesome. Great, great, great businesses, great food, a lot of fun, and a whole new business model.
Yeah, and what is his thing exactly?
Well, I think, you know, really, really good food in a really democratic, downscale, super casual, super comfortable surroundings, which is, you know, kind of a revolutionary thing that he and a few other chefs over the last decade have really pioneered.
Yeah.
Meaning, you know, you could eat Michelin star quality food, but without paying for the, you know, expensive flower arrangements and the 20 snooty waiters and the white linen and the glassware and the silver and all of that stuff, you know, I think these restaurants appeal to people who are willing to pay for the food, but they don't want to pony up another $100 just for the movie set,
the surroundings.
Yeah.
But does he actually sell cereal milk to people? Is that?
Well, they have a Momofuku milk bar. It's basically a pastry, dessert, cakes, muffins, cookies. They're all, but they're really all. The desserts there seem geared towards people who had many seminal and important food epiphanies while stoned at 2 o'clock in the morning, eating Cap'n Crunch with Crunch Berries, or eating junk food. So that it's right in that sort of comfort zone.
Yeah. So it's actually cereal infused milk that you can buy there by the pint.
Yeah,
that's cool.
It's not cheap either.
No, there definitely was pot involved in that. We know that much.
Well, it certainly, I think many people will find that all too familiar. I used to like Cap'n Crunch with Crunch Berries.
Yeah.
But it was so sharp, those Crunch Berries and the Cap'n Crunch, they would like dig holes in the top of your mouth. So you were never sure what was turning the milk pink, whether it was the Crunch Berries, artificial red gut, red color, or were you bleeding into your milk?
Yeah, your gums.
Yeah,
it's like eating those birds.
Yeah, right.
Man, that's an astounding scene.
Yeah, yeah.
What is that bird called?
It's called an ortolan.
And they're rare and they're protected and they're endangered.
Yeah, and delicious.
And they're delicious. And how everybody knew how to eat them, that's what amazed me. I mean, well, these people were in the know. You were with a bunch of people who were at the top of the business.
It's one of the things when you become a cook, it's one of the first things you hear about, this rare and wonderful bird that, you know, they eat in secret, you know, with hoods over their heads. And, you plop in your mouth, sizzling, screaming hot out of the metal cocotte. you know, you grab it by its little skull and put it in your mouth feet first, and then after a lot of breathing, try to cool it off, you crunch your teeth down into its fat, gut-loaded belly right through the bones, and it's, oh, wow, it's so wonderful. It is sort of stabby kind of a way.
Yeah. No, it sounds great. It sounds truly wonderful. And that's a rare treat. Who set up that meal?
I am not at liberty to say.
Oh,
in fact, I have no contemporaneous recollection of whether or not...
you were even there.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Anthony, thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time. I know you're a busy guy.
Hey, it was my pleasure. Good talk to you.
Appreciate it. Anthony Bourdain, ladies and gentlemen, Medium Raw. Here's the book. The latest one. Medium Raw. Very fun book. The show is great. If you haven't seen it, No Reservations on the Travel Network, how can you not have seen it?
That's right.
You got to see it. That's great. Okay there.
No reservation.
No reservation. Yeah. You don't need no reservations. And you're in the Chicago. You ever get out to any of the restaurants in Chicago? I think it's like the best restaurant town around. Yeah.
I went to one of the Mexican restaurants, Salpican.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Is that good?
Yeah, very good.
You know it's a good restaurant if you can't get into it, you know. But then you can't get into it.
Well, we got into it.
Oh, then it's not a good restaurant.
It's
the Catch 22 of Chicago restaurant.
I bought her cookbook too. So.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. Excellent. Can you name the four branches of government? Yes, there's branch one through three, and then there's the fourth we don't talk about. That's the secret branch of government. Al is from Oconomowoc. He's a project leader. Al, are you in one of those branches? Do you know the four branches?
Yeah. Executive, judicial, legislative, and Federal Reserve.
Oh, Federal Reserve is the one I wouldn't have gotten. Nice thinking, Al. But I think you spelled the Oconomowoc wrong, no? I don't think that's the way it goes. Are there free cars under our seats like on Oprah? I would look. I would take a moment and look. She might have left some here. I don't know if she was. Does anybody see a free car under their seat? Is there a free car under your seat?
No. No.
Okay. You never know. I don't know how she do that.
She spends a lot of money.
Is that her own money?
I think so, yeah.
If it was your show, Jim, would you give...
Making the kind of money she makes, I would be glad to give them a car.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, right. How many mosquitoes does it take to suck a gallon of blood? It's kind of sick. Where is Joni? Huh? Have you figured this out?
No, but I have a lot of mosquito bites.
All right, we'll have to work that out mathematically, I think. I have no idea. Oh, yeah. How long does it take for a person to go insane? This is the same family, isn't it? I can see this calls for a visit. Calls for an intervention, I think. How long does it take for a person to go insane? A young man wants to know from Byron, Illinois. How old are you?
22.
Oh, are you? Okay. Well, that's probably long enough. Is this a concern of yours now? Or?
No, it's just, you know, other people see how long it takes them to go insane. I'm already there.
And if you know that, then would it help in some way?
Oh, yeah, I think it would.
Yeah. Okay, and then this is the mosquito woman, right?
Yes.
There probably is an answer for that if you want to do the math on it. But I don't do math.
Neither do I. That's why I was asking you.
Well, they have you figured this out?
No.
Because you figure how much do they withdraw at a single...
Well, yeah, and if it's like... Oh, yeah. An Illinois mosquito or
milliliter.
Cubics.
Milliliter.
I don't know.
Anyone here in bugs or in math?
0.3 billion.
Thank you very much. Okay. All right. Let's move on from that. You know what flibbergibbet means? So we get a lot of good questions here today. Chloe Strait from Greendale Middle School. Where are you, Chloe? Oh, you're right in front. Oh, you're right there to begin with. I could have covered this. I don't know what it means, flibbergibbet. That was before my time. Does anyone still say that?
No, not
No, not really. Okay, well, that helped. When radio was in its early phases, they used to say, turn the flibbergibbet on, and that was the radio. But anyone use the term flibbergibbet, or it's a euphemism for something, we think probably something terribly bad.
Really bad.
You were there at the right time. You know, you were the right guy at the right time. What would be your favorite thing to do other than this show? Well, I didn't mean to pick this one. Oh. What do you do the other 6 days of the week? Well, it depends on which day, doesn't it? And that's rather personal. Kristen Connor. Hi, acupuncturist. What's it like to work the same job for 25 years? What's it like sticking needles in people? That's pretty much what my job is like. Been needling people for 25 years.
No, I've been needling people for about 2 years. And what's it like?
Another 23, we'll talk.
You get used to it, and people feel better afterwards, so it's okay.
That's not my experience here. I don't know. They usually are distraught when they're leaving here. Whose side do you take in the Newton-Leibniz calculus controversy? You think Newton was more influential or Leibniz? I tend to go with Leibniz.
Hot button issue.
That's my gut reaction is Leibniz. Are you?
Yeah. Leibniz, I think he was the better guy in the whole situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just saying that to Jim, actually. Yeah. It was in the men's room. We didn't want to get into it too deep, but Leibniz, right? Remember?
Leibniz, yes, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Newton had his day. What is the cure for baldness, Jay Miller wants to know. Actually, losing your hair is the only cure. You have to lose the rest of it, sir. That's the only cure there is. You know, it's really only partial baldness that is a problem. It's no longer an issue once you lose it all. What?
I just thought you would know the answer.
No, you didn't. The glare is a little bad there. You might want to move your seat if you... Okay, a cooking question, because we just had cuisine or whatever that was, and Janet Holt, professor in Naperville, is in the low-fat pumpkin cake recipe to use a small or large can of pumpkin. Hi, dear. Wouldn't that depend on how big a pumpkin cake you're making, wouldn't it?
Oh, it's with one cake mix, so one box of cake mix. Yeah. You mix it with either a small or a large. It doesn't seem to work for me with either.
So. Maybe I get Bourdain back on the phone here and turn that over to him, because he's probably got something you could do with that. I imagine... Use a large can, wouldn't you? Because I like that, so. Eric from Appleton, rural mail carrier, the backbone of our audience. Where is Eric? This is the backbone of our audience, the rural mail carrier. Ladies and gentlemen, let us honor him. Let us honor him. Let us honor Eric. Can I get you to stand up, Eric? Are those your official shorts?
Yeah.
Can you wear whatever you want while you're out there? Rural?
I can.
Mail carrying?
Pretty much, yeah. Within reason.
Yeah.
I have no assigned uniform.
You get a little note in your file for something that was not within reason? Or?
I could.
Appropriate garb?
I could.
Clown suit or something?
Yeah,
you know,
be pushing.
Because he had it on the night before, you know.
Yes. Sunglasses.
Yeah. And you have to provide your own vehicle?
Correct.
What are you driving these days?
Ford Explorer.
Explorer, okay, so that's good. Yeah, a lot of miles. Do they give you mileage at least?
Yes, they do.
I want to make sure about that. And you listen to the show while you're on the route?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I love that. We own rural mail carriers. That's so good. Where should you be about now on your route?
What time is it?
It's 20
to 11. Oh, we got to get going. Yes, it's about 20 to 11.
About 5 miles north of Mackville.
Okay. At which residence should you be pulling into?
I have somewhere on County Road EE.
Okay. County Road EE, about now. We're also rolling in right now. So who's rolling in right now on County Road EE?
I have a substitute that fills in for me.
Yeah, but he's probably not going to be there for another hour, right? You can't even find County E, probably.
She's probably already been there.
Yeah. Oh, you got me there, Eric. And now, what you want something from us?
Yes, I would like to get an autographed picture of Jim for my dog, Luke, who's also... a very big fan, and he loves it when Larry takes off and Jim fills in.
Yeah, okay.
So would that be possible?
Yeah. You give me your address. I'll see what I can find.
Get the dog. Get the dog's address. Thank you very much. Thanks. And thanks for doing what you do. And we're going to play the What Do You Know quiz, a chance for you to win fabulous prizes. And who do I give that to? I forgot who got the... Yes, someone got the four disclaimers. Oh, yes. Okay, you want to meet me down the aisle over there? And there are no vowels involved, so it's okay. Just come right down here. Yes, I need you down here. The four disclaimers, we're about to play the What Do You Know quiz. We have to know who can and cannot participate in said quiz legally and with a forethought. Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
And you are?
Mary.
Mary.
From? From Wisconsin, but I live in Antioch, California.
And you flew all the way in?
My arms are still tired.
Yeah. Just for this, ladies and gentlemen. So, Mary, go ahead.
Read the disclaimers. All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Who keeps forgetting and put the cap back on the deep water horizon? Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. All opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Well done. Very good. Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to raise them to indicate interest in playing the quiz. Get those hands up there. Let's get a broad cross-section. All right. How are you?
Good, thanks.
I'm good.
I'm good? I'm good, too, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What's new? Anything?
Life's green, and the wind's been blowing the corn over in my neighborhood.
Good, good, good. Anyone else want to? No, yeah, your name is?
Don Robbins.
Don, you from around here? Or...
Yeah, I live out in DeForest.
DeForest? Mm-hmm. Are you a farmer out there?
No, I'm a mold investigator.
What?
Mold investigator.
Okay, I guess we'll hear more about that, Don. But first, you got to give me one good reason for playing this quiz.
Because I've always wanted to be on the show, only I didn't know it. And my wife brought me here for Father's Day a week late because you're so busy last week, we couldn't get in.
You could have, but okay, that's not a problem. Come on, Don. Come on, Don. Up here. Have a seat there. Mold. Like inside of buildings.
Inside of buildings.
Yeah.
Too much water, you get mold.
And so they need you to come in there and say they got mold? It's pretty obvious. Isn't
well, generally, a lot of times it's in the walls, or they're just sick and they don't know exactly what's going on. It's a matter of keeping the place dry. So I try and sometimes prevent it from even happening by getting the...
What are you, an exorcist, a mold exorcist?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, keep the water from getting in the building and... You're not ever going to have any mold to begin with, but once it's there, we go in there and tear it out and clean it up and put it back together pretty.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Have you always done mold investigation?
No, I was a contractor, then a home inspector, and that kind of my background's in medical technology, microbiology, and so it kind of grew out of that.
Yeah, so now it's like mold CSI.
Yeah, it's actually the name of my business is Building Forensics. So.
Oh, wow. I might think two of us could go far.
You know, I could use some good marketing.
Yeah, me too. And I could use some help with my mold, for that matter. Well, Don, someone out there plays along with you. You know how this works, pretty
much? Yes, I do.
This is an encore performance, so don't call today, but save your call for another time.
Okay, it's a quote for the news. Who said this? Quote, get an act. Rhinestone bikinis and giving people the finger is not an act. Who said that? If you know, give us a call right here. Someone in the news said that. And it made news all over, didn't you? You hadn't heard about this, Jim?
I hadn't heard about
it. Oh, sure you did. Get an act, rhinestone bikinis, and giving people the finger is not an act. Famous individual said this of another famous individual. Let's go to the phones right now. Steve's on the line from Elk River, Minnesota. Hey, Steve.
Hello.
How's she going there in Elk River?
It's going pretty good.
That's pretty good. River rising, or...?
Has been here. We actually had about 4 inches of rain here a few weeks ago. And
oh, yeah. Got a mold problem, Steve? I got a guy for you here.
No, I don't. No.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Steve, get an act, rhinestone bikinis, and giving people a finger is not an act. Who said that to whom?
I want to say It was the dragon hatchet that fitted to the black hatchet.
Okay, you want to say that, then you want to say that. And I can't tell you what you want to say.
Okay.
That's not it, though. Lou.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll talk again. I'm sure Jerry's online from Cleveland. Hey, Jerry.
Hi, Michael.
How are you?
I'm great.
Good. Things good in Cleveland?
Yeah, getting warm, but it's not too bad yet.
Yeah. Got your vacation planned yet? Or?
Oh, yeah. I'm going next week to Dearborn.
Whoa, that's quite a trip.
Couple hours.
Couple
right
hours.
Right down the road. Right
yeah.
down the road.
Going by road or?
Yes, I'm driving.
Telepathically or?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Cool. Are your friends there? Or?
Yeah, I'm going to meetings.
Okay, say no
it's
more.
It's a secret society.
No, I understand. Yes. I wasn't even going to probe it. Who said get an act? Rhinestone bikinis and giving people fingers, not an act?
I don't know. It seems like it might be Seinfeld to Lady Gaga.
It seems like you're right. Jerry.
All right.
Yes.
Good lady.
Yes. Now, these secret meetings you're going to, Jerry, across the country.
What, you want to know more?
No.
But it might disqualify me from the quiz.
Yeah, it might. Okay. Jerry, Don.
Hey, Jerry.
Hi, Don.
Jerry?
My father's name was Don.
Yeah, it's a good name. I like it.
Good. I like it, too.
Okay. A bond has been established. We can proceed from there.
And the categories.
Huh?
And the categories.
I was just going to get to that, Jim.
Okay. What are the categories?
Let's all keep our places here.
Yes.
And Jim Packard will tell us the categories.
Those categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science or odds and ends.
Yes, siree. That's why his dog likes you so much. Jerry, you can pick the first one if you like.
Oh, I'll take school.
Okay, things you should have learned in school. Let's see. Is it pronunciation or pronunciation?
Oh, pronunciation. Like nuns.
I'd say pronunciation.
The nun, with a nun in there?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a religious thing, you know.
Okay.
yeah, I went to Catholic school.
Okay, good. Pronunciation then. Well, good. Yes.
All right. One right.
All right. Drop on the right foot here. Pronunciation. Okay, and so what's left there, Jim?
Current events, people, places, science, odds and ends.
I just like the way science sounds.
Say it again, Jim.
Science.
Yeah, didn't you say that in me?
Yeah. Science, okay. Lucy, the 3.6-million-year-old mother of us all. They found her husband, Desi, in Ethiopia. Is he, A, the same height as 3.5-foot Lucy, a good 2 foot taller, or actually shorter than Lucy? Desi.
I'm going to say that he would be taller just because that's sort of the way things go in the animal kingdom. What do you think, Jerry?
I kind of thought he was about the same.
Not everyone likes that. What?
I thought he was about the same. That's why they figured they were related.
Well, I'll go with what you, if you've got some sort of previous knowledge.
But you were thinking that he was a good 2 foot taller?
I was.
Yeah.
Maybe taller, but not that much.
No. Or, you know, maybe.
Why? You know, these relationships are usually established on power back in those days.
Yeah.
It wasn't about being pretty. It was about who could...
They probably weren't actually married or anything. This is just kind of for convenience of archaeologists, you know. You can't prove they're married.
Who could drag who home?
Yeah.
They have a sense of humor, too.
Okay, so you're saying same height, maybe a little bit taller or 2 foot taller or actually shorter?
I'm going with taller, Jerry. I'm kind of stuck on it.
2 foot taller?
Okay, taller.
Yes, he was a good 2 foot taller than her. He towered over her at 5'6". Towered over her, Jim.
That's right. Yeah. Two right and no wrong.
What's left then there, Jim?
We have current events, people, places, or odds and ends.
Jerry?
Oh, how about current events?
Current events. All right. Who has more Facebook fans, Lady Gaga or President Obama?
The obvious?
I don't know. I'm not on Facebook. How about you, Don?
Yeah, I am.
I will tell you, I have 4,333.
Well, how come you're not on the list?
I'm not. No, it's not too close. Lady Gaga, President Obama, more Facebook fans?
I'm going to say that, you know, in our culture, it's almost always the entertainers that get all the show, and the people that are doing the hard work typically
Hey, no
don't.
Speeches, Don.
What do you think, Jim?
Knock off with the speeches already. What?
It could be Lady Gaga, but would we have two Gaga answers in one quiz?
That's unusual, but it could happen. There is a Ga and a Ga, obviously.
Yeah.
Lady Gaga. Yes, Lady Gaga.
Okay, Gaga, yay.
9,142,866 to 9,111,970. So she's ahead, but not by much.
Wow.
Jim, they've won the
quiz.
They've
won the quiz. They can stop here, take a prize, or they can go on and try for the mother load. They do have to answer two questions correctly. From our three remaining categories, win a treasure trove of prizes. However, if you miss either one of those, Don Robinson is going to come by your house and check for mold.
Possibly bring it with him, is what I'm thinking.
Yes.
This
you
is fun.
Go on?
Let's go for it.
Oh, of course. Go for it.
Yes, they're going on. Let's encourage them. Because we have the chance to. What's left there, Jimmy?
People, places, or odds and ends.
Okay. Don, I think it's back to you, isn't it?
Well, it's back to me. I'd go with people.
You would go with people? All right. Percentage of Generation Yers, Generation Y, who would like to use, like to see solar panels at work around the office. Is it 1%, 27%, or 47% of Generation Y, which is what, in your 20s or something?
Could be.
Yeah.
I would think on the high end.
So would I. Yeah, it's
47%?
It's that whole
you got it.
Inconvenience.
You got it. You got it. They want to see 40%. Half of them.
Way to go for the judgment.
70% theory. Want recycling in the office.
Yeah, they should have.
Yes. 100% want their own office.
I just want to win, though.
Yeah, okay.
Four right, no wrong.
Oh, boy. Is it then?
Places or odds and ends?
Okay, Jerry.
How about odds and ends?
Odds and ends could be anything. Yes, it is. It's just a guess, but I'd say there are 100 billion, 10 billion, or 0.3 billion cubic miles of water in the oceans.
There's a lot of water out there.
I would think so.
Yeah. Well, any of these would be a lot when you think about it. Is it 100 billion
would
cubic miles, 10 billion cubic miles, or 0.3 billion cubic miles of
maybe
water?
Maybe we should go for the middle. And be 10.
Or 0.3 billion.
I don't know. Like, was it two-thirds of the planet?
At least.
That's a bunch of water.
And 90% of our bodies.
Yeah, that's you add that on.
99 or something.
And you probably got to go for the big one, don't you
think?
Makes
me want to go to the bathroom, actually. For some reason, I can't explain.
I'd go for the 10 billion.
Oh, 100, let me read it again. 100 billion, 10 billion, or
100 billion.
0.3 billion.
I'm thinking big here.
Okay. Let me say them again, then.
100 billion?
Okay.
We're talking about, billion cubic miles. You know, a billion cubic miles is a lot of...
Wow, that's like, how far is it? 93 million miles to the sun or something? Yeah,
something
you're right.
Like
that's
that.
Quite a bit.
And there's no water between here and there.
No. Okay, I'll go with Jerry's thought on it.
0.3 billion?
Mm-hmm.
Was that your thought?
Yeah, maybe 0.3 is enough.
Okay.
Huh?
Yeah, work for if it works for the oceans, it works for me. 0.3 billion is it. You got it. 0.3 billion cubic miles of water. Jim,
Jerry, you'll enjoy the ultimate foot therapy session wearing a pair of dreamy Freudian slippers and move Sigmund's red tongue as you wiggle your toes from the Unemployed Philosophers Guild. You've won Joe Sharpnack's A Simple Life, a flip book classic from Thumb Cinema, a Michigan State University Spartan polo shirt from Spartan Athletics,
Whoa.
A tin of Monona Terrace mints from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, a passel of What Do You Know temporary tattoos, and Michael's book Something I Said, Innuendo and Out the Other, including Michael's Life the Musical on a CD performed by John C. Yeah. From Terrace Books. For you, Don, you can celebrate the winning days of June as National Dairy Month in delicious style with organic artisanal cheeses from Wisconsin and around the world. That's from Fromagination on Madison's historic Capitol Square. You've won Uncle John's Bathroom Reader Plunges into the Presidency by the Bathroom Readers Hysterical Society. It's from Portable Press. The CD-ROM Leanin' Tree Screensavers from the Museum of Western Art. A dozen American Gothic refrigerator magnets from the Cedar Rapids Area Convention and Visitors Bureau, a trio of junior-sized Japanese-style ring-bound study cards from the Mindology Company, and What Do You Know, the Party Game from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at NotMuch.com. Congratulations to both of you.
They got the quarter, too, for being here. What Do You Know, quarter.
Should I just share some of this with the
ladies? Yeah, get better.
To find out more about Michael's books, CDs, board game, and other show merchandise, click on NotMuch.com. Our next live shows in Madison are August 11th at the Historic Music Hall on the UW-Madison campus, and we'll be at the Monona Terrace on August 18th when we welcome author and humorist Michael Perry. Tickets at notmuch.com or by calling 608-262-2201.
Well, you know, each week at this time, we read actual memos sent in by actual listeners so that actual listeners shall not perish from the earth. The biggest fan contest is still rolling along.
Is it?
I'd say it's gathering ahead of steam.
I hope so.
I'm your biggest fan. You can enter that. How do they enter that contest?
Well, you enter that by supplying us with a winning video, audio, or written testimonial to prove your claim that you're the biggest fan.
Yeah.
And you'll win a huge kielbasa of prizes and rule over our show on Friday night, August 13th, the Silver Jubilee celebration at the Wisconsin Union Theater.
Very well said.
Thank you.
This one here, Brenda Souter says, forward, I was your biggest fan.
Oh.
Well, Michael, I just want to let you know that I thought I wanted to be your biggest fan until I saw your photo on the PRI website. Wait, it's not as bad as it sounds. All the years I've listened to you on Saturdays, I've pictured you as a short man with receding black hair and wire-rimmed glasses. I could be further from the truth. In my image, you also have worn a slightly shoddy-looking suit. Now that I see your picture, I find that I just cannot laugh as freely as I used to. What are you laughing about, buddy?
Did she say you were in a
pal.
Suit?
Yeah, a shoddy suit, but a suit. If you want to keep from losing your fan base, you might want to consider replacing your photo with someone considerably less attractive. Okay, told you it gets better. The fact is, you're just too good-looking to be funny. Oh, gosh. Brenda. Oh, it was an old picture, granted. I will still continue to listen to your show since your face is not altogether your fault. But I don't know if I will get over my disappointment anytime soon. Sincerely, Brenda Souter, Williamstown, New Jersey.
Okay.
I guess that's an entry. Terrence McShane couldn't find the actual survey on biggest fan, but I thought I'd submit this. First off, you've got to screen your contestants. The guy in the garage today was a huge flop. Where have they found the female hormone? That was quite a surprise. Response, in a nut tree. I mean, something as simple as that could have got Michael talking for hours. Anyway, my Saturdays at work have become so much better since I convinced my brother to stop listening to Glenn Beck and listen to your show. No more GB on Saturday. Yeah. I know this won't win the contest, but it's legitimate. Terrence McShane. Thank you, Terrence. Thank you just for stopping listening. No. Why I should be considered your biggest fan is really a no-brainer. A stripe on a skunk, a neck on a giraffe, a line is in my hand. A stripe on a skunk, a neck on a line is in my hand. I have written to you many times. You have read my mail on the air. You picked me out of the audience in Laramie, Wyoming for my question, if D9s are outlawed, only outlaws will have D9s. I've told you I'm certifiably crazy. I verbally slapped Mr. Tall Eyebrows. What else do you want? Why are you making this so difficult, Michael? Do you want Don to win? Or some guy like the phone-in fellow in Laramie? Let's see. You're Jewish. I dated a Jew for a while. I can't go on with this. I will. Here's one that's actually a form letter. Why I'm the world's greatest fan of Check One, Michael Feldman, Garrison Keillor, Peter Sagal. I'm the greatest fan of Check One, Michael Feldman's What Do You Know, Garrison Keillor's Paranormal Companion, Peter Sagal's Wait, Wait, Wait. Okay. It goes on. In that vein. So far, not a lot of great. No. The most promising one, I guess, to date now is this gentleman here who sent in the dry erase hat as his entry. He makes these.
Wow.
Well, the guy who sent him $50, that was a good one.
Oh, yeah.
I got to send that back to him. I'm not going to take your money, sir. That'll be in the mail. Your check's in the mail. Number one fan, dry erase cap. Comes with the dry erase marker in case, you know, you want to change the ranking or something. I don't know. So that's I lost his letter. But anyhow, it doesn't matter too much. Okay. Let's just get those out of the way then and go on to the actual memos. sent in by actual listeners. First, this. Meg says, I was listening to your show where you said an employee of PNC did not know what PNC stood for. PNC stands for Previously National City. That's that bank in Pittsburgh. So it's, I think we're done with that. We're so done with that. Kay Bryant, heard you read my email on the show. We don't get the show until today, so I am waiting with bated breath. I was wondering about that breath thing. Anyway, my daughter's stepson heard it in Long Beach, California, called my daughter in Canoga Park, California, who called me in the middle of the night and woke me up to tell me. Then I waited until morning to call my son in Pennsylvania. See what a stir you caused. And did I not tell you I am your biggest fan from coast to coast? Thanks from Mississippi with love. Oh, Kay Hooker Bryant. Oh, Kay, yeah, okay.
She's,
you
know,
yeah. Kay, remember the hooker, makes jokes about her name.
Oh, that's right, that's
she's
right,
a hooker
right.
in Mississippi, yeah, yeah, yeah. But she's actually the hooker. It's a family name. And, and she wants to, yeah, she. Okay. Thanks for being nice to my dad in Ithaca, even when he called you subversive and avuncular. He tried to raise me to be subversive and avuncular, but I have been a tremendous disappointment. Aiden Baker. Oh, you bet. Going back once again to Cornell, there is a give my regards to Davy is a common phrase heard on the Cornell campus in Ithaca, but no one knows who Davy was. You know, they would say, give my regards to Davy.
Okay, who?
Well, Laura Bodden knows. You asked about the song Give My Regards to Davy, and who Davy is. David Fletcher Davy Hoy was an early athletic director at Cornell. Hoy Field is named after him. So, and give my regards to Hoy. It just doesn't scan properly. Okay. I'm 68 years old, retired, and listening to you on Saturdays. Always a very... Yeah. The problem is that this woman actually writes in a very nice script or something, but I'm so unused to reading an actual script anymore. You know, cursive?
Yeah.
It's very sweet, though. She says... came across the show 12 years ago. She's 68 years old, retired nurse, and she listens every Saturday, and it's a great way to start her weekend in a positive manner. I wish it started mine in the same. You know, I never really had a positive weekend. Your monologue is always very wheat. It looks like wheat, W-H-E-A-T, isn't it? Well, let's say a real hoot. Okay, that I got. Your added comments added to what is going on in their world are just great. Well, thank you very much. I'll read this later when I have more time. Oh, Jim has a great voice and quite a sexy smile. Come on, Jim, one more of those. Yo, yeah, I see what she means there. And she listens in Nashville, Linda Brown.
Oh, I see that's on small paper,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Nashville. Yeah, no, it's a very nice script, but I'm not used to reading. Biggest fan because you're bound to be part of a phone-in segment TV taping of your show about 20 years ago. You never took the call. Okay, well, I'm sorry. All right. Timothy Lockley. Having observed Mr. Feldman and his colleagues consume numerous adult beverages as he held forth on his program while here on the Mississippi Gulf Coast prior to the storm, I have no doubt that sometime in the not-too-distant future he will require a liver transplant. To that end, I offer a portion of mine. I submit that the willingness of one to sacrifice bits of their internal organs to another is the very definition of friendship. Of course, my donation of hepatic tissue is predicated on my winning the competition. Should I not be victorious in this effort, I withdraw my offer. Your true friend, Timothy C. Lockley. Well, I'll take that in the spirit in which it's offered. And when it's needed, I definitely will take it. Thank you. So that's an entry there for the biggest fan contest. Mr. Feldman, I may be your biggest fan, says Brian Marriott. I have been listening to your show for the past 24 years and 7 months. Well, there's a good 5 months unaccounted for there, Brian, up there in Ashland, Wisconsin. So we'd like to hear what you were doing that time.
That's right.
Basically. Michael and staff, I'm your biggest fan because I volunteered to be part of a phone-in segment during a TV taping of your show about 20 years ago, and you never took the call. Well, I never took the TV show either. waiting for hours... took dedication, 2 hours plus. Reading the Book of Mormon would have been more amusing. I'm your biggest fan because I am the reigning spelling bee champion. All misspelled, of course. Very cute. Well, I need more prizes because I gave away what you sent last year. I'm your biggest fan because I've won the quiz 4 times. This is not supposed to happen, Jim.
No, it's not.
No. Luckily, a record.
Blame that on Lyle.
Yeah. Grand Rapids, Michigan. Prizes included a pencil from the city of... what? Oregon or something. Some city in Oregon, looks like. I don't know. It'll be worth 1 cent in the year 8010. Tasty mustard and mole sauce. Potholders from Traverse City. Hey, those are going to be worth some. Visor from Rosie's, which could only be worn by someone over 120 years old. Rapid City, South Dakota, or Bismarck, Wyoming. I don't know what that means. Horrible tasting dried soup. Little buffalo toy. Braided sweetgrass. Birmingham, Alabama, she won 4 packs of mini cookies, described as gourmet. Sleep shirt, 2 books for, about the South, and pepper jelly. And Monona Terrace, she won a State Fair cookbook, Weber grill, a Boca mitt, apron utensils, mustard, ketchup, etc. I'm her biggest fan because I've often participated in call-in segments. I've likely logged more airtime than 80% of fellow fans. Well, that's Patricia Polly. Michael Shaw, New Yorker cartoonist, is entering. I think this is considered
this
an entry.
First.
Yes. He has done, there have been some Feldman cartoons in the New Yorker with a character named Feldman. It's usually in a business setting, so I assume it's not me. But this one apparently is me. He says, what other New Yorker cartoonist would draw him nude? Okay, Michael Shaw, from Cincinnati, actually. Feral. Feldman retired, then he turned feral. Here's a nude Feldman climbing a tree, New Yorker style. This is something to be treasured, but I don't know if it really qualifies him as my biggest fan. Okay.
Feral.
Okay, actual memo. Oh, and we other got other mail here. People, I hate to ignore people write me, and it's so nice that they do that, so... Silver anniversary, Schmilver anniversary. My parents, Jeff and Carolyn Boykin, are celebrating their Sapphire 45th anniversary with a trip to Madison this weekend where they will be attending your show. Is that this weekend? Are they here, the Boykins? Guess not. Okay, the heck with them then.
That was a good setup.
Sapphire, Schmaffire, I see. Diane Ayers, my husband attended UW 65 to 70. He tells me that his freshman swim class held in the old armory was a nude class. Guys only, according to him. I find that hard to believe. I do too, actually. So what's the matter with him? We had nude in high school.
Yeah.
Did you in your high school?
No, I didn't, but you've remarked.
Were you ever nude
yours.
In high school at all?
In the shower, yeah, after basketball practice.
Okay, you did. Okay, good. Craig Chapelo. I was the guy on the quiz today who answered the qualifying question about lying. As always, I enjoy your show a lot. Keep up the good work. I mentioned I was working on a book about lying. Okay. It's called Lies Leaders Tell. Okay. Promote that. And this one I didn't from a couple weeks ago. I meant Aiden Baker says, thanks for being nice to my dad in Ithaca, even when he called you subversive and avuncular. He tried to raise me to be subversive and avuncular, but I've been a tremendous disappointment. Thought that was cute. Just one letter from Nigeria saying my fund is ready. This is from the United Nations Assisted Program, Directorate of International Payment, from the United Nations Liaison Office, Africa. $4.7 million. Well, I'm actually supposed to receive $8.3 million, but first I need my ATM card and the PIN number. Just for the processing fees, I guess. I'm not quite sure what that is. All right. Well, here's the actual memo. It's not an actual memo. It comes with this carpet thing, doormat, but it's kind of amusing. See if you agree. This morning, I picked up the outside doormat, and the label fell off the back, says Leslie Kreider. This doormat has been in place for several years, so the label was dirty, barely legible. Here's what it said. This perfectly fine, if not certainly adequate, high cotton doormat is made for 100% olefin indoor-outdoor carpet and printed with color-fast inks. Wash with hose and brush, dry flat, do not machine wash. Important things you should know about your new doormat. Do not use mat as a projectile. Sudden acceleration to dangerous speeds may cause injury. When using mat, follow directions. Put your right foot in, put your right foot... This is not on there. Then we have to go to plan B here. This is for a research and collection center at a well-known museum in an adjacent state to the south of us, which houses research labs and collections. It goes to all staff. The refrigerator, freezer, and the special programs room, kitchen, and staff break room are for food and food only. Please do not store your artifacts, animals, or skulls in them. Thank you from Linda, and thank you for all those memos. Don't store your skulls in them, Jim.
No.
Jim is always doing that, storing his skulls in the...
Send all of those communications to, what do you know, Michael Feldman, 821 University Avenue, Madison, right. Wisconsin, 53706. Ah. Or you can post them at whatdoyouknow@wpr.org.
Sidney Claxton, Chippewa Falls. He's 9 years old now, but he's been an entrepreneur since he was at least seven, probably earlier than that. Came up with an astounding idea based on the fact that, well, in Chippewa Falls, obviously you'd know this, that bratwurst are curved.
That's right.
Buns are not. Most of us wouldn't even think anything more about it. You break them a little bit. It's unfortunate if you got to do that. You know, you just break them, and it kind of ruins the whole thing. All the juice leaks out. But Sidney Claxton had another idea, and let's find out about it right now with us. Sidney, are you there?
Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
How you holding up under all this? You got a lot of press and radio and TV and pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. They must be. You've been on television with this thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They come to your house and film you and everything.
No, they came to tunnels.
Uh huh. Okay. And tell me how you first got this idea about the fact that the bratwurst is curved, but the buns are not. How did that come to you?
We were in the car, and I asked my dad, why don't they have curved buns for brats? And he told me, I don't know. And then a couple of years later, we had a invention fair, and that's when I got to show off the idea. And then... I was the first one out of 10 years that actually had their invention go into production.
Fantastic. Now, yes, for Sidney, Sidney Claxton, Chippewa Falls, inventor and man about town. Was there a moment, did you get the idea right away when you thought that you could make a curved bun? Or did you sleep on it and wake up one morning just with the idea in your head, or how did that work?
I think that we had either eaten brats at night or we were planning to.
And you dreaded the thought of having your bratwurst stick out of your bun.
Yeah.
Now, how did you go about making a curved, and that'd be a hard thing to make, isn't it, a curved bratwurst bun?
Yeah.
Did you try baking some?
We tried at home.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't work, so my dad went searching around for some bakeries that could help.
Mm-hmm.
A dozen bakeries, and then Connell's, they said that they would do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they made them.
Yeah. Did they?
Tries.
No, go ahead. What were you saying?
It took a couple tries, too. A
couple tries at the bakery there. Did they want part of the action, though, the bakery, then? Did they want to get in on the money part of it when the money starts pouring in, because it's your invention?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. Okay, got to cut them in. I guess that's business, though. That's how it works. Have you had other inventions besides the curved bratwurst bun?
No.
Okay. Because when I was a kid, I was thinking things would be cool. Like, I thought you could get a fluorescent bulb. This is before they had them, you know, like a tube-type fluorescent bulb that would screw into a regular socket, but it would be kind of hard to screw it in because it would be 3 feet long and screw it into a... But when I was a kid, I thought of that. And It was almost brilliant. However, we're not talking about me. We're talking about you. Now, and so are they being produced right now, these buns?
Yeah.
They're by mass produced? I mean, are they on trucks right now heading for most of the nation?
We're shipping them.
Yeah. We're shipping them out. You're shipping. I like the way you think. So they're getting shipped out. What are they called, Sydney?
Sydney's Curvy Brat Buns.
Sydney's Curvy Brat Buns. And I understand that you even are working on the promotion of it. You have a jingle that goes with it?
Yeah.
You wouldn't mind doing it for us, would you?
No.
Oh, okay. This is the jingle for Sydney's Curvy Brat Buns.
But never forget, Sydney's Curvy Brat Buns.
Catchy. That's catchy. That was our audience there. They dig it because we all had this problem with the brat buns, and then all the stuff that you put on top of the brats tends to get forced out of it because of the pressure of the curvature of the bratwurst. So this is ideal, but it's a little it's a little hard to conceive of. Does it work really well?
What was that?
Does your bun work really well? I mean, your curved bun?
Yeah.
It does. Does it cover the entire bratwurst?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that sounds excellent. Excellent. Well, that's amazing. And your dad, Ralph, is he there too?
Ralph's the baker.
I'm sorry. What's your name then?
My name is Ralph Cooey from Kyle's Orchard Bakery. We're the ones that helped Sydney develop the bun.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's the bakery guy there. He's right there over your shoulder. Okay, so he wants to get his cut. That's him. Are any of them sesame buns, or are they all pretty, or poppy seed?
We started with them that way. That's the way Sydney and his dad kind of made, and then we've been selling them. People have asked them without it, so we've made most of them without right now.
Yeah. And Sydney, this is going to pay for your college education, don't you think?
Hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah. What are you going to go to school for? Are you going to go to school for some kind of business thing?
I don't know.
Yeah. A little early to think about. What's the matter with me? Sydney, it's a pleasure speaking with you. Congratulations on your success.
Thank you.
Sydney Claxton, ladies and gentlemen, the pride of Chippewa Falls, shipping his buns, even as we speak.
Very nice.
Very nice. Local boy invents better brat bun. On the Chippewa Falls paper. Sydney's Kirby Brat Buns. How about that, huh?
Interesting, yeah. Too bad that fluorescent goofy light bulb you thought of didn't work out.
Yeah, that was one of my better ideas. Then I had the
better?
Idea. Compared to some of the other ones I had. I had the idea about when I was a kid, I used to think I would be an inventor. Yeah. Car lights that got brighter the faster you went. In school they said you need a certain distance for every 10 miles an hour you go, and so it's farther, you know, that you have to worry about ahead of you.
But then they would dim when you went slower?
Yeah, they or go off entirely. Due to faulty wiring in the prototype. I don't know, we can't explain it. But unfortunately, of course, it would blind everyone who came near you.
That's
why we never went into production.
I can understand that.
Yeah. Did you invent anything when you were a kid or have an idea?
I don't know, maybe. Yeah. I used to think that, you know, I hated getting up in the morning to go to school, so I thought, well, if I could just get like a bed that was a car, and then I could like drive to school in the bed.
Yeah. I don't mean something stupid. I mean an actual product that would be kind of cool.
I don't know. Maybe I did. I can't remember anything.
Yeah, okay. Enough said. Jeff had something, though, I bet, didn't you, Jeff? Yeah, did you have, what was your pride invention?
I have a chemistry set.
Okay.
Chemistry set?
Yeah. You got a microphone right there, don't you?
Yeah.
Why don't you talk into it?
Okay.
when I was in kindergarten,
yes,
I had a chemistry set, and I took all the chemicals that you get, there's like 50 of them, and I put them all in one beaker, and then put all the liquids that come with it in there.
Oh, yeah, we've all done that.
And then I put a cork on it, and then I lit up the Bunsen burner.
Yeah.
And I, who knows, you know, maybe that's, so anyway, I heated it up, and we're in our basement, and I was on top of the ping pong table, we're just watching it, and about the same time, my friend and I, we see it's kind of bubbling and heating up, we look at each other, we just had the same idea, maybe this is going to end badly or something, so, and just we thought that kaboom. The whole thing blew up, and there's like a big purple stain.
But put the microphone down. Yeah. Put the microphone down.
I do understand where the scarring is from.
Yeah, the scarring. The scarring. That'll go, a lot of that will go away. You would think it would have by now. Becky Butler, who was a professor there at Northern Illinois. What was radio technology like when you began in this field? Well, we all had the crystal radios, for one thing.
Tin cans and string.
And then you grounded them on your radiator, and that became like the antenna. And then you had to just put a little needle on the crystal. But you first had to wind copper wire around a toilet paper roll so you could tune it in. And then you put a little strip of, you don't care about this, well, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but you look like a receptive individual. So I'm sharing, and it's not that easy for me. So. And you can get that way. That's pretty much the technology at that time. You remember that technology?
It was wonderful. Yes. Those were the days. Those were the days.
Yeah, you can make your own. What an amazing thing to make your own radio, you know? Cool. Never see those days again. Any good ideas for a senior prank, Samantha Reyes from Leawood, Kansas? Yeah? Are you still in school?
Yeah.
Well, how long do you stay in school in Kansas?
For 4 years.
For 4 years, but I mean, isn't don't you get off for the summer? You go straight through the summer for 4 years?
No.
Well, wait a second. I'm coming, dear. Hang on. I'm coming. You got to get there. Got to get to her. Excuse me. Pardon me. I'm going to get you to stand up, Samantha, dear. What year are you, dear?
I'm going to be a senior next year.
Senior, huh? Finally going to get out of that.
Yeah.
Are you involved in a lot of activities?
I do my dance team there.
Dance team?
Mm-hmm.
What's your patented move on dance team?
I don't really have one.
You do one of these? Does that look familiar?
I could.
Or what? What do they do now on dance team? There are little moves that they do.
We kick a lot.
Okay. Let's see one move that you're comfortable with. And just kick him if you have to. Dance team move. That's the fist shake, right?
Yes. I can't move a lot. I'm in a skirt.
No, I understand. Oh, okay. Sorry. I'm sorry. Caught you at a bad time. Senior prank, you don't have a thought out yet?
No, I don't.
Cow in the belfry?
I don't have any cows.
I don't mean you personally. Somebody you know has a cow, though.
I don't think so.
Yeah. They did at West High School here, supposedly. They put a cow up in that little belfry. Were you involved in that? Your son did it? Your son put the cow in the belfry? He was part of it. How did they get the cow? Because cows don't go upstairs too easily, do they? I would definitely go for that. Some large animal, farm animal.
I'll try.
Chickens.
A cow, maybe an ox.
Chickens in the office.
Water buffalo or a...
Not where we live. No.
Kansas, they got animals in Kansas?
Not in Johnson County.
Not in Johnson County? What's the largest animal you have in Johnson County?
Horses.
I get a horse. A horse is fine. Even a small horse. Get a miniature horse if it's a problem.
All right, I'll try.
Lead up the steps there. Do you have like a one of those domes on top of your high school?
No.
What does it look like physically?
The high school?
Yeah.
The school?
A building, okay. Or they did another thing at West. They glued cars to the roof one time. Huh? Is your son involved in that one too? I saw you perked up at that one too. After the cows, they were very proud of their scene. They somehow got these cars, and they glued them to the roof.
Wow.
So something to think about. Thanks, dear. Have a great senior year. Finish up already. We're going to play the What Do You Know quiz, because that's what we do. We're a quiz show, and that's how we get our tax deduction, by claiming a quiz deduction. So we just about have to do a quiz. It's required. But the good news is this is your chance, right, Jim?
Absolutely.
To get involved in a quiz like you've always wanted to. And so I'm saying at this time, then, you would indicate that you want to do that by thrusting a hand in the air. You thrust first. She who thrusts first thrusts best. Come here to this aisle. How are you?
Hello.
And you are?
Perineal Rip.
What is it?
Perineal Rip.
Perineal?
Mm-hmm.
Pernille.
Pernille.
Yeah.
Can I call you Pernille?
Sure.
Pernille, that's a pretty name. Pernille, one good reason you should play this quiz.
My fourth grade students would think I was really cool. Really cool.
For the fourth grade, Pernille. Come on down here, dear. Join me on the What Do You Know stage. There it is, right there. That's the famous What Do You Know orange seat. Oh, Pernille. Interesting. Is that a family name? Or?
It's Danish.
It's Danish?
Yeah.
Does it mean something in English?
Rock.
Or in Danish, I guess it would mean.
Yeah, rock.
Rock.
Like a big mountain.
So you could be Rock Rip.
Yes.
In America, you would have been Rock Rip. Cool name.
Thank you.
A lot of possibilities with a name like that. I mean, you know, dance, other thing. Where is my, do you see my pen? Okay. Pernille.
Yes.
I like it very much. Anyway, where are you from?
Denmark.
You're from Denmark?
Yeah. Madison now, but Denmark. Born in
Denmark. Oh, yeah. Oh, you were, huh? And when did you come to this country?
12 years ago.
12 years ago. And how do you find it? Have you adjusted?
Yes, I would say so.
Yeah.
Madison is fabulous, so.
Fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
The things you miss about Denmark?
A little bit more liberal, so.
More yeah. liberal?
We have more political parties, which is nice.
More liberal than Madison?
Yeah. Going,
whoa. I don't know if that's a good thing. More political parties?
Yeah. So more choices.
More choices? Okay, yeah. And do you get back there every so often?
Every other year.
Yeah. Where in Denmark are you from?
Yangpo. It's a very small village in the middle of Denmark.
So you could be named Yangpo.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Yangpo?
Yangpo.
That's what I said, didn't I? It's a lot cuter when you say it, though.
Okay.
Talk to me in Danish a little bit. Just say whatever you want. I don't care, really.
Det er fantastisk at radio show, du har I dag.
Yeah, a little more, please. Say mine if I turn down the bed in Danish.
Gør det noget, hvis jeg slår sengen ned?
Yes! I quit! Okay. Wow, that's nice. So Danish is such a pretty language, isn't it?
Thank you.
Yeah. It may have something to do with you, though. I think you're a big influence on the language, I have to say. And you teach fourth grade where?
West Middleton Elementary.
West Middleton Elementary, the fighting...
We don't have anything.
The fighting nothing. We don't fight. We're West Middleton, middle school? Middle elementary.
Elementary.
Middle elementary, okay. Well, you got to have, like, they all have some kind of...
No. We have anything. A pencil, but I don't think it's a mascot.
A pencil is your mascot? Erase them, erase them. Well, Pernille. Can I call you Pernille?
Sure.
Pernille. Is that right?
Yeah.
Pernille?
Either one.
It's more of an E, right? Pernille.
Pernille, sure.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it to you. I wouldn't be too good in Danish. Is it a difficult language to master, Danish?
Yes.
It is? Okay, then I wouldn't get it at all. Very nice to have you here. And for the fourth graders out there, we got, is it Miss Pernille or Miss?
Mrs.
Mrs. Pernille here, kids. So, you know, get near those, like they're listening.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And there's a qualifying question?
There is a qualifier.
Okay, let me read it first, and you people can get off the line and call back.
This is an encore performance, so don't call today, but save your call for another time.
The Red Cross offers first aid courses for what international organization, well-known, causing some controversy? Let's go to the phones right now, and Fred's on the line from Vicksburg, Mississippi. Hey, Fred.
Michael, how you doing? Long time no see.
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah. Not too bad. Yeah. I'm on my way up to Wisconsin for a washer tournament.
A washer?
Yeah, a washer tournament.
Washer?
Yeah, a washer. You know, like a washer?
Do you mean like a nut bolt washer?
Yeah, you know, like a Wisconsin game that you throw washers in a box and, you know, you kind of do that thing.
Oh, sure, Fred.
How you
been? It's been a while. I've been good. How about you?
Yeah, last time I seen you was, I think, in a restroom at Germantown, Tennessee, I think, wasn't it?
Oh, that wasn't me, Fred.
Right after the show, you went...
No, Fred, that was not me. That was your congressman.
You wouldn't start,
That was your congressman, Fred.
Well, he's out on the oil slick right now.
Yeah, so good, good.
He's trying to do some.
Fred, Red Cross offering kind of controversial first aid courses for what international group?
For what international group?
Yeah, a group that's well known internationally.
Geez. Is it a big group?
a group, by definition, is big, I think, or at least.
Yeah. Okay, and they're offering a certain kind of class for this group.
Yeah, Fred, we got to go here. You got to just name a group.
Okay, I would say Greenpeace.
Thanks, Fred. Bye. Steve's online from Columbus.
Good morning, Michael.
Hi, Red Cross offering. Good morning to you. Red Cross offering first aid courses, but they're controversial because they're offering them to whom? Who?
The gay and lesbian community. Gives a whole new meaning to mouth-to-mouth, I'm thinking.
I'm not thinking that. Julie's online from West Point. Everyone's a comedian, but no one really is, of course. So. Julie, how are you?
I'm great. Enjoyed your show in Springfield. We were in the audience.
Oh, you were? Oh, yeah. Oh, great, great, great. You had a good time there? That's when I was breaking rocks.
Yes, we had a very nice time.
You know, I couldn't stand up straight for about a week and a half just from trying to break one rock. Julie, Red Cross giving first aid classes to who?
Terrorist groups.
Well, can you name one?
Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, no, they haven't gotten to them yet. Okay, well, I guess it's not right.
Okay, I don't know the...
Okay. That's better this way. Thank you. Steve is online from Byron Center, Michigan.
Yes, hi, Michael.
Steve, you know this answer.
Yes, Red Crescent.
No.
Rats.
Rats. Thanks, Steve. Bye. Nadia.
Yes.
Nadia, you know.
I know.
Yes.
I wanted to say Amnesty International.
No, that's not it, Nadia.
Okay.
Nice try, though.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Okay, S. Hi, S, are you there? No. Oh. Susan in Kirkland. Are you there? Hello, we lost everyone. Steve.
Hi, my name is Peter.
Peter.
Yep.
Did you ever think about the name Steve? It'd be a good one for you. Steve, do you know who they're giving first aid to? I mean, lessons, courses?
What?
International group. You got the right show? Do you have a car question? I'll answer that if you want.
No.
Why'd you call, Peter?
Oh, I was trying to call in for the qualifying question for the quiz.
Oh, that's what this is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't get the question.
Yeah, it's the Red Cross offers first aid courses to what group that caused some controversy?
I'm going to say it's going to be off the top of my head.
Okay.
Mafia? I don't know.
Thanks, Peter. Nice talking to you. Bruce is on the line from Nashville. Bruce.
Yes, this is Bruce.
Help me out here, Bruce.
Yeah, it's the Taliban, Michael.
Taliban, yes. And it makes sense. It's very possible to nick yourself when you're beheading somebody. You know, so it's very useful. How you doing, Bruce?
I'm doing well, Michael. Thanks.
That's good. How are things down there in Nashville? You guys
hot.
Drying out there?
We are drying out. Yeah. It came pretty close to where I work, but you know, we were one of the fortunate ones. But it's hot, and we could use everyone's well wishes.
Yeah, you got them. Definitely. We love Nashville.
Yeah.
Best of you down there. Bruce, what are you down there? What's your gig?
I'm in the publication business and web development.
Oh, okay. That's a good thing, huh?
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Yeah. Preneel?
Preneel, yes.
Preneel
is
your partner. And you're a lucky guy because she's a fourth grade teacher. They know everything.
Oh, no.
You know, I'm 49, just graduated college.
Oh, okay. So you're in good shape, too.
I hope so.
All right. Bruce and Preneel, do we work together? You are a team. Here are the categories. Mr. Jim Packard.
Categories of current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, Bruce, you pick the first one.
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends it is. Could be anything. Yes, talk this over. What do you mean hair is adsorbent rather than absorbent? You know, they've been gathering hair for the oil spill. And they say it's because hair is adsorbent as opposed to absorbent.
That it repels the oil?
Well.
Repels the oil.
That doesn't really make sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense at all, pretty much. Bruce?
It attracts the oil.
Attracts the oil. Anyone else playing this quiz?
We need just got the two contestants.
Want to play the quiz, Jim?
Sure.
Yeah.
But I don't.
Jim,
like
what do they
question.
Mean by adsorbent as opposed to absorbent?
You add a lot of hair to previous hair.
No, wait, Bruce. Wait a minute, Bruce.
Maybe I have it.
Yes.
Instead of the hair absorbing the oil, it adheres to the oil.
Ah.
Oh, I like that. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's pretty good. That's good. We'll accept that. It doesn't soak it up. It covers the hair. Yeah, okay. So, Jim, that would be?
One right and no wrong.
Okay. Give yourself one wrong, Jim.
Okay.
What's left there?
Current events, people, places, school, science.
Pernille?
Current events.
Current events. So you're through for the summer. You working this summer?
Yes.
Yes, you are? You're through or you're working?
Both. Working at home.
Working at home, okay. The world's most expensive fixer-upper, an unfinished 90,000-square-foot Orlando home, is going as is. There's no walls inside, but there's a lot of rooms. There would be a lot of rooms if the walls were up. Is going for how much? This is the world's most expensive fixer-upper, being sold as is, 20-car garage, no walls, going as is for what price? This made national news, so...
It's way on up there. I heard
it's
this
way
on
in
NPR,
up there in the millions.
NPR this week.
Yeah, give me a ballpark. Give me a best offer.
It's like 90,000, something like that. I mean 90 million. Way on up there.
Yeah,
I would say even higher than that, but
yeah.
Or you were right before, so
no.
Could be even lower than that, though. Oh. Don't you remember what they said there in NPR? A few things considered there. No.
Well, 47 million seems to come to mind.
47?
Yeah.
Well, I split the difference between 47 million and 90 million.
I just remember it being a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, 75 million?
75 million! Yes!
Way to go.
Pernille.
Two right, no wrong.
All right, okay. It's been like pulling teeth, but we're getting somewhere, finally. What else is left there, Jim?
People, places, school, or science?
Bruce?
Science.
Science it is. This is a good one for you. You teach science in fourth grade, right?
Yes.
What do you typically...
Very
you,
limited science, but what yes.
What do you teach? Like milk bottles and boiled
electricity
eggs?
Electricity and rocks.
It's good to know rocks. That in later life about electricity and rocks.
Is,
Those are two very useful things. If you take care of your heart, will it prevent tooth decay?
I believe so.
Wouldn't it be the other way around, though, that you're supposed to floss and that's going to keep you healthy? Yep.
Could that be what I'm thinking here?
Yeah.
So you're saying no, actually. It's the other way around.
It's the other way around.
She's saying no, Bruce. It's the other way around.
I like her.
Yes?
Pernille, let's go with it.
Yes, that's right. No is yes. It's the other way around.
Good job.
Take care of your heart. Does nothing for your teeth.
They have won the quiz, Michael.
What can they do?
They can take a prize and stop here, or they can try for the mother load. They do have to answer two questions correctly from our three remaining categories. Win a treasure trove of prizes. However, if you miss either one of those, we'll have Beaver Enterprises come by and deconstruct your house.
I'm feeling good about this, Pernille.
It's all you then, Bruce. I'm with you.
Let's go.
Okay, good.
All right.
Mother load.
Come on. It doesn't cost you anything to be supportive.
People, places, or school?
What's left, Jim?
People, places, or school? Those are the categories.
Yeah, okay. Pernille, I think it's your turn to choose.
People?
People, kind of survey results is what it is. Do more than half or less than half of American women have under things they will not wear in their drawer? They will not wear, ever.
I would say more than half.
Oh.
Bruce, what do you think?
You're the woman. Let's go with it.
Are you implying that you do have such objects?
Where, though? Like, never wear?
That you will not wear.
Why would I have them in my drawer, then?
I'm not prying. I'm not even looking in your drawers. I'm saying that you thought to be more than half, so I'm assuming that...
Well, we all have embarrassing things, but, you know...
Let's just say more than half. And, Bruce, you go along with that?
I like more than half.
Yes, more than half. 57%, according to the jockey people, who make some of them, but not all of them. That's for sure.
Four right, no wrong.
Yeah, you know, probably just waiting the right occasion.
Yeah.
Kind of things. Mm-hmm. Okay.
What's left?
Yeah, what's left again?
Places or school?
Places or school is back to Bruce, right?
Wow. Yep.
Yeah. What do you think, Bruce? Places, school?
I just had a lot of school, and I'm over it. So let's go with places.
Places could be anywhere. Let's see if it is. Yes, it is. A lot of interest in the upcoming book called Dear Friend Hitler. Oh, it's a movie. Pardon me. A lot of interest in the upcoming movie Dear Friend Hitler. Where is this movie being made? Is it India, Taiwan, or Syria? Dear Friend Hitler, the movie.
Oh, my goodness.
Bollywood, maybe? So India?
Yeah.
I like India.
Yeah. How did you know that?
Bollywood. Well, I just haven't heard of the Syrian movie industry lately. So.
Good point.
A very good point. You're right. Yes, it's a Bollywood hit. Dear Friend Hitler. I'm sure it's ironic. Jim Packer, what have they won?
Now, Bruce, you've won the official coin of the realm designed by Nora Feldman, the renowned solid silver anniversary quarter celebrating the Grand Silver Jubilee and featuring on the reverse side an elegantly perching silver felled Mingo. Along with Watch It and Made in the USA, a visitor's guide to the companies that make your favorite products by Karen Axelrod and Bruce Brumberg from Avalon Travel. Got the trivia board game uniquely in New Jersey from New Jersey Bell, a map depicting a map of Sheboygan with a matching coaster, a Purdue University lapel pin,
that's
a
nice
Wolf
dad.
Park bumper sticker from Indiana's Wolf Park Battleground, and the CDs What Do You Know About Beethoven, What Do You Know About Copeland, What Do You Know About Sousa, all with liner notes by Michael Feldman from Nimbus Records. Pernille, your front yard will be the talk of the neighborhood with a pair of the quintessentially pink plastic flamingos from Pink Ink, a won a beautiful wooden bowl crafted by the Great Alaskan Bowl Company in Fairbanks, a wine opener from the Door County Visitors Bureau, the Los Barrios Family Cookbook, Tex-Mex recipes from the heart of San Antonio by Diana Barrios Trevino, published by Villard, a dozen Berghoff blinking pins, and a dozen Berghoff pens from the Minna's Craft Brewery, and What Do You Know, the party game, including the infamous Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, dear. Wonderful job. A fun summer, good fall. Bruce, hang on for just a second. We'll make sure you get all that stuff. Thanks for playing.
What Do You Know travels to the Gallagher Bluedorn Performing Arts Center in Cedar Falls, Iowa on September 8th. More information, including where to buy tickets, is available at notmuch.com.
Okay. Well, you know, each week at this time, in fact, most weeks not, but finally got to it. Here's our Town of the Week with Jim Packard.
About 150 miles west of San Antonio lies a town that calls itself the best of the border. Originally, the town was called San Felipe del Rio, named by Spanish missionaries who arrived on St. Philip's Day in 1635. Del Rio, Texas, is the seat of Valverde County. The town's most famous resident has to be the late DJ Wolfman Jack.
Huh.
Born in Brooklyn, New York, as Bob Smith, he howled on the 500,000-watt border blaster, and XERF was the call sign. There is a statue of the Wolfman now in downtown Del Rio. Ooh. It's Whitehead Museum is chock full of historic memorabilia of the settlement of the town. Mm-hmm. Del Rio lies at the edge of the Tamulipan Thorn Scrub. Mm-hmm. It's the formal name for the Texas brush country.
Huh.
Del Rio's Laughlin Air Force Base is the busiest pilot training base in the USAF. Back in 1962, Laughlin was the home of all of the U-2s taking pictures of missile sites, which began the Cuban Missile Crisis. The largest employers in town are the Air Base and the U.S. Border Patrol. With the passing of the Wolfman, other famous residents of Del Rio would be actress Jessica Alba, whose father was stationed at the Air Force Base, and Judge Roy Bean, often described as the hanging judge.
Yeah.
It's the Queen City of the Rio Grande and our Town of the Week, Del Rio, Texas.
Queen City of the Rio Grande.
Yeah.
Did you get me a newspaper? Because
I didn't get any anything.
Did you make an
folks.
Effort to get
yes,
one?
Yes, I did.
A repeated effort? You
no,
certainly had enough time.
I
Jim.
Did.
Anything else? Yeah, we're calling right now randomly. Or we're not. I mean, but Lyle is. Or Lyle's not either. To find someone who will speak with us about Del Rio from an insider's point of view. But there's probably a few nuggets in there that you didn't think you had time for. And now you do.
This is all I know.
That's it?
Yeah.
You scraped the barrel on this one?
Yeah.
Nobody is home in Del Rio. Is there something going on there? Is maybe there's a border crossing.
Jessica Alba Day.
There's Jessica a border Alba crossing. Day. The owner of the radio station was the gentleman who sold his goat glands over the radio and
made that's a fortune. Right. Yeah. We had the guy who did the book about that, remember? Yeah, he was like this goat gland guy. Was that, and that was that the station? Was,
yep, XERF.
Yeah, Wolfman Jack. Is that station still operating?
I don't think it's operating under those call signs. I think
Border Radio, is it still there, though?
Yeah.
That's cool. Lyle, you having a little problem there, Lyle? Try your microphone. Maybe it works. You never know. Tell us what's going on, Lyle.
I didn't find anybody.
Are you trying?
I've tried about 10 different numbers.
Are you making an honest effort?
Yes. Even some dishonest efforts.
What have people responded at all, or...?
Yes, I had one lady say that she was sure I had the wrong number and have a nice day.
Oh. Aren't there any Feldmans in Del Rio?
No Feldmans.
Usually we'll call a Feldman as a fallback.
That's the first number you start
And there
with,
are yeah. Feldmans everywhere. we're going to get this yet, Jim. Anything else you want to add about Del Rio?
No, not really.
And that's our town of the week, Del Rio, Texas, ladies and gentlemen. Now we're going to throw the dart. To pick our next one.
That's a good thing to do.
Throw the dart. Would you like to, dear? Yes. Come on up here. Bring that up. Be careful walking with that. And your name again is?
Chloe.
Chloe, dear. Would you throw that in there? Let's pick our title of the week for next week. Oh, it's Texas again. Oh, we're not doing Texas again. Here. Throw that again there, Chloe. Okay. All right.
Our next live shows in Madison are August 11th at the Historic Music Hall on the UW-Madison campus. And we'll be at Monona Terrace on August 18th when we welcome author and humorist Michael Perry. Tickets at notmuch.com or by calling 608-262-2201. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer, International. Adam Friedrich, producer, with assistance from Michelle Good, Judith Heisey-Kavalik, Lyle Anderson, and Diana Cook. Technical director Tom Blaine, with help from Aubrey Ralph and Brad Kohlberg.
PRI, Public Radio International.